Thanks, guys. Well, I'm Jennifer with the traveling team, like Kel said, and we are so excited to be here tonight. We clocked in earlier at Big Red Sports and Imports, and so we're ready to go. And tonight, we're going to talk about missions. All right, we're going to talk about missions. I don't know what you think of when you hear that word, but growing up in church, I kind of would just get kind of scared. I felt a little nervous, usually ended up feeling guilty when people talked about missions. So I like to kind of avoid that topic. But anyway, I went with my life. I came to college here at OU and got involved in a campus ministry, this one actually, and grew so much. People just loved on me and really helped me to know and love God in such a deeper way. And so along the way, I heard some talks about missions. One in particular was different than anything I'd ever heard before. This guy, he came in and he said, you know, a lot of college students are asking this question, what is God's will for my life? Right? I mean, I was asking that question, but I kind of had a plan. I was going to be a pharmacist and live a comfortable life in America and serve God and disciple people here and really be involved in my church and have a family and, you know, do a lot of godly things. So that was my plan. But then, you know, he went on to say, you know, that's the wrong question. The question that we should be asking ourselves is, what is God's will? And then we can fit our life around that. And then he proceeded to show us that through the Bible, God's will has always been for people from every nation to know him through Jesus Christ. And so I was like, whoa, it was everywhere, verse after verse after verse. And instead of feeling guilty, that night I felt convicted and challenged. And it was exciting to see this bigger purpose that God had for my life. And I realized, too, that probably those guilty feelings that I had back growing up and stuff was probably God trying to convict me then, but I just didn't get it, you know. But this time I did, and it was exciting. I decided to learn more. I read a book called Don't Waste Your Life. It was amazing, and I really desired to live for eternal things and to give my life to things that have eternal significance. And I realized that when I get to heaven, I don't want God to have to ask me, Jennifer, why did you give the best years of your life to Walgreens instead of to me? And so I just, you know, I knew that, you know, God had a different plan for me. So tonight, as Brian comes and shares from God's word, I just pray that you guys would understand that we are all called to be global Christians with a global purpose because our God is a global God.
Yeah. Man, that'll get you excited. Man, it's awesome to be here tonight. Jennifer, Hannah, down to Miami. So it was awesome tonight to hop in our van and travel 5 miles, okay, or 5 minutes to campus. And so, man, do you guys wonder, man, I do, do y'all ever wonder, if you ask just the average person on campus, on a college campus, what do you think about when you hear the word missions? Do you ever wonder what they'd say? You might not, but I do because it's my job. So, I mean, here's what they'd say.
I think about when missionaries used to visit my church and they'd show slideshows and, like, the kids that they would show and, like, the different things they would do to help people.
Well, most of the time it's like some old guy that went down to Mexico or something, and he's showing slides, and everybody's kind of like, yay, mission trip, oh, look. That's usually what I think.
When I think of missions, I think of, like, super Christians, people that stay in the church 24/7 and don't really have a life.
Isn't that awesome? Man, the thing is, my view of missions when I was in college wasn't that much different. Man, I thought missions were for like the select group of people that were called. I knew that word from somewhere. And they were called and they had some kind of liver quiver experience in junior high camp or something. And, man, all I knew is that in my church there was like one of those families. And so I felt pretty comfortable when somebody said, you know, are you willing to go anywhere? I'd be like, yeah, because our church already has their token missionaries, you know. So we're set. Sure, I'll go in, whatever. And then I began to learn in college that, man, missions is more about location, like where you are in the world. But, man, missions is really about lifestyle, and it's about lordship. And God wants to do some awesome things through us to reach the world. And, man, tonight, man, my goal is just to show you that this is one book with one theme and with one purpose. And, man, God's heart beats for the world. And if God's heart beats for the world, shouldn't ours? It's kind of like this. I mean, I ran cross country in high school. I know it doesn't look like it. Okay. But I ran cross country in high school, and we had this guy on our team named Jeff. And just to put it nicely, Jeff was slow, okay? We're good friends. He admits it. He said he paced himself. But, we have it on film. You could see my dad, the typical embarrassing father, would videotape our cross-country meets. Exciting. And you can see everybody take off at the beginning of this huge pack, and we kind of run off into the distance, and then the camera kind of comes back to the middle. And you're like, Dad, what happened? You fall asleep? Oh, no. Here comes Jeff. Okay? So do you get the idea that he's slow? We finish all our races, and we're sitting down watching some of the other races take place, and we see something we've never, ever seen before, okay? We see Jeff running with people behind him. We're about to overtake him, and right before a guy passes him, Jeff finishes in first place. And so, man, we go crazy. We're about to, like, throw him over our shoulders like Rudy or something. And the guy comes up to award Jeff the first place medal. And we hear Jeff say this. Man, I'm from the last race. I just hadn't finished yet, okay? They're about to put his name in the record books. No. Man, Jeff won the wrong race, okay? And man, I wonder how many of us tonight are about to win the wrong race. And we're planting our foot on the first step of the wrong race. Man, God wants obedience from us. He wants lordship from our lives. And you're going to come to a T in the road where you have to pick, man, am I going to run God's race or am I going to run mine? So guys, would you pray with me tonight that we could look at God's Word and we could see what He wants from our lives? Lord, I thank you for tonight. Just the chance to address this group of awesome people who want to follow you. God, I don't believe anyone in here is setting out just wanting to be disobedient to you. And God, tonight I pray that we can look into your word, see what your purpose is and what your finish line is. And God, we can set our minds and set our faces like flint to run it. God, we pray this for your name. God, we pray this in the name of Christ. Amen. We're going to go through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. And man, we're going to see what God's finish line is. He draws a line in the sand and says, here's what I'm about. Here's where I'm heading. And He invites every one of us to run with Him. And so if we start off in the Bible, you start in Genesis, right? And man, right from the get-go, He says, this is what I'm going to be about. He creates Adam and Eve. And He says, Adam, Eve, I don't want you to just populate this little garden, okay? Man, I want you to be fruitful, multiply, and do what? Fill the earth. And so, if you're reading along, you realize man turns wicked, right? Wicked bad, not wicked awesome. And God says, man, I want to start over. And so, He picks Noah and his family and preserves them, wipes everybody else out. And man, God says this, right when Noah steps off the ark, here's what God says. Noah, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. He's like a broken record, okay? He's setting his finish line out there time and time again. And so, I'm reading along. And I realize man doesn't do this. Like Noah's descendants, here's what they do. They get together and they say, come, let us build for ourselves a city and a tower whose top will reach into heaven. And let us make for ourselves a name. Otherwise, we'll be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. And I'm scared. Like, do you see the direct disobedience here? And they came to the fork in the road and they chose disobedience. And so I'm scared to death, honestly. Because he just flooded the earth. And, man, what's he going to do now? Like, flick him into the sun or something? I don't know. And so, you read on, and man, God doesn't get angry. Here's what he does. He scatters them abroad over the face of the whole earth, and they stop building the city. See, at this point, man, God creates the nations of the world. He confuses their language. He starts all the languages that you hear today, like, all the languages you hear spoken on your campus have their roots right here, like German, English, Chinese, Canadian, all those languages started right here. And man, God's plan was to reach people from every tribe, every tongue, every nation back to himself. And he was going to start with one man and with one family, and that's Abraham. We see in the next chapter, Genesis 12, God says to Abraham, Abe, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house and your Xbox and your double-wide trailer to the land which I will show you. And Abe, I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make your name great. And you're going to be a blessing. And I'm going to bless those who bless you. Isn't that great? And the one who curses you, I'm going to curse. But Abe, it's not all about you. Abe, you're not the finish line. Abe, here's the finish line. Here's the point. Here's the purpose. In you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. So Abe comes to a fork in the road. Stay in Ur, which by the name of it sounds like a great city. Stay in Ur. I mean, go to where? The land I will show you. A place he doesn't even know where it is. What Abe does in the next verse I think is amazing. It probably confused a lot of your friends, confused a lot of your parents. Here's what Abe does. Abram left. Simple obedience. Man, what does God say to this? Abe, in your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. See, man, God wants big things from your life. He wants a huge, huge thing out of your life. But He can only do it if you're obedient, if you obey His voice. And God's purpose for your life hinges on your obedience. And you look on, because of Abraham's obedience, man, this promise that God makes is passed on to his son Isaac. And God says to Isaac, man, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. To Isaac's son Jacob, God says this, in you and your descendants shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And God just repeats this promise over and over again. Man, God's heart for the nation is just riddled throughout this book over 1,000 times. Okay? It's a big deal to God. Man, Jacob's son and his family are growing to this huge nation, the nation of Israel. They're stuck in Egypt, and God brings them out. And as He's doing it, He gives them a bunch of commands. You heard the Ten Commandments. Okay? He gives them a bunch of these commands. He gives them some laws to live by, some really oppressive stuff like don't throw your babies into fire, you know, some really legalistic stuff like that. And why does He do that? Just to be a killjoy? Man, here's why God gives them some laws to live by. He says, I've taught you decrees and laws as the Lord my God commanded me so that you may follow them in the land you're entering to take possession of it. And just so that they'll follow them, just for that? No, here's why. And He says this, observe these carefully, for this will show your wisdom and understanding to the nations who will hear about all of these decrees and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. See, God, His name was on these people. They were God's children. And so, I mean, He wanted them to be representatives of who He was to the nations. And guys, if you're a follower of Christ, and if you're a Christian, and His name is on you. And He wants you to show everyone on your campus, show people throughout the world who He is through your life. And so when international students come to your campus and they look at your life, man, what do they say? Man, I'm afraid sometimes they look at Christians on campuses and look at what Christians do on the weekends. Look at what Christian guys do with their girlfriends. Look at what Christians' girls wear. Look what how Christians act. And they say, no thanks. Man, I'll stick with Buddha, who's pure. No thanks, man. I'll stick with Allah, who's holy. See, man, God wants us to live obedient lives and to bless us so that we can be a blessing to those around us. When you see God's heart for the world throughout the Bible, Bible story after Bible story, just end with this, with His heart for the world. I picked one. It's David and Goliath. You familiar with that? Short dude, big giant. All right? And so, man, David is just, he's living in simple obedience. His dad tells him to take some food to his brothers or something, and he's just like, sure. And he goes, and he sees this camp of people. He gives the stuff to his brothers, and he hears this giant just blaspheming the name of God. And David says, man, that's not right. Man, I'm just going to out of obedience. Nobody else is fighting him, so I'll fight him. And David actually says, you know what? I'm going to kill you, Goliath. I'm not just going to fight you. I'm going to kill you. And then he proceeds to tell him why, which I think is really nice. You know, If you're ever going to kill somebody, just let them know beforehand why. Here's what he says. Goliath, man, I'm going to strike you down. Remove your head from you. Give the dead bodies of the Philistine to the birds and the wild beasts of the earth. It's a little PG-13. Should have warned you. I mean, I used to think that the story stopped here. In Sunday school, we'd close our Bibles and we'd say, you know, God can defeat the giants in your life. Isn't that comforting? And we'd go home and go out to Furs or something. And man, but I read on one day and I realized that this isn't the point of the story. And that's not why David killed him, just to kill him. But David says this, Goliath, man, I'm going to kill you that all the earth may know there's a God in Israel. I'm going to kill you because there's a finish line God's laid out for my life and for the life of all His followers. And man, I want to show people that there's a God in Israel, not just to the people around me, the earth, the whole earth may know. And verse after verse in this Bible just talks about God's heart for the world. All throughout the Psalms, like Psalm 67 says, God blesses us that the ends of the earth may fear Him. Psalms 96:3 says, tell of His glory among the nations, His wonderful deeds among all the earth. And so, I mean, you see throughout the Bible this desire of God to get His name to every nation in this whole world. I mean, you see this in the life of Christ. In Isaiah 49, it's a prophetic book looking forward to Christ. And God says this, says, it's too small of a thing, Jesus, that you should just be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob. And it's kind of like this. When I remember the first time I ever skipped school, okay? And in college, I did it all the time. But I remember in elementary, the first time I pretended like I was sick, I coughed, told my mom I had the black lung or something. And so she let me out. She said, okay, you can stay home. Finally, towards the end of the day, I said, I'm feeling better now. And so she said, okay, you can play outside. And so I went outside to the back porch, and I had my little trucks, and I was banging them together, or whatever kids do. And so all of a sudden, our house was like right by the school, and all of a sudden I heard the bell ring, and recess was starting. And so I could look out, and I could see a bunch of kids running around on the playground. And they were like on this huge swing, just this amazing swing. And they were on this fort over here, and they were playing soccer with like 20 other kids, just laughing and having fun. And I was banging my little trucks together, you know. I mean, I realized, and that was too small of a thing, man. There's a big, big, huge recess going on with a lot of fun stuff happening. Man, this was just weak, okay? I mean, guys, God wants huge things from your life. And a lot of us are living for too small of a thing. Guys, if you have a heart to like maybe reach your city or your campus, and that's good. If you have a heart to reach like all of Oklahoma or whatever state you're from, and that's awesome. If you have a heart to reach all of America, and that's great. Just realize that's 5% of God's heart. That's 5% of the population of the world. And I just wonder if that's too small of a thing. God goes on to say this, I'm also going to make you a light of the nations so that my salvation may reach to the finish line. Verse after verse. And you see this, the life of Christ. I mean, Christ was just obedient to the Father. It says in Philippians, He was obedient even to the point of death. And so with Christ's life, this is just what it looked like. 2/3 of Christ's major miracles were done towards internationals, people that weren't from His own country. I mean, you might be wondering, like I sometimes used to wonder, man, what would Christ say if He was standing in front of me right now? Like if Christ was your speaker next week at Paradigm, like what would it be? What would the message be? Man, isn't that a great question to ask? Well, man, I don't ask that anymore. Because I've read this book, man, and I realized that before Christ died, He talked about a lot of different things. But after He rose again, He just had one message on His tongue. So, man, if He was standing before you tonight, this is what He'd say. He'd say, look at these scriptures. Let me open your minds to them And here's what they mean. He says, thus it is written that Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in my name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. Man, that's what he'd say. Do you see this? Do you see this finish line that the Father set out for us? Man, run towards it. Live your life in obedience to this book, which tells us to tell of His glory among all the nations. Man, if you look in some of the other Gospels, man, when Christ talked about after He was gone, here's what He said to the disciples. He said, man, a lot of stuff's going to happen to you. Man, they're going to persecute you and you're going to suffer. But remember this, guys. Don't forget this. The Gospel must first be preached to all the nations. And He keeps going on. In Matthew, and we're familiar with this. We call it the Great Commission. Right before He like zips out, you know, takes the elevator up to heaven, here's what He says. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. And John, He just says this. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. Guys, if you're a Christian, if you're a follower of Jesus, man, the Bible says you're an heir to the promise of Abraham. This promise of being a blessing to the ends of the earth. The Bible says you're like a branch that's been grafted into this tree of Israel. And so, man, if you're a Christian tonight, man, this promise, this theme, this heart, man, it's passed on to you. Guys, our heritage as Christians is that we're a sent people. Christ has sent us and we're a sent people. And guys, when you think about missions, when you think about trying to reach out to people who've never heard the name of Jesus, the issue isn't that you're so spiritual, that you're so worthy to bear this message. The issue isn't that they're even worthy to hear it. Man, the issue is that God is worthy. Jesus is worthy. And that's what He's told us to do. Jesus said, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he's the one that loves me. He that loves me will be loved by the Father, and I will love him and show myself to him. So my question to you tonight is, what are you doing with the commands of Christ? What are you doing with these commands? Because here's a picture of heaven. Here's what it looks like. I mean, here's how worthy He is. In Revelation 5:9, it says He's worthy to take the book, break the seals. For Christ, for Jesus was slain, and He purchased for God with His blood men from every tribe, and every tongue, and every people, and every nation. See, this is God's finish line. And this is what heaven looks like. It's this huge multicultural block party, okay? It's going to rock. I mean, do you see this? It's going to be awesome. People from every tribe, tongue, and nation. And God's not going to be made out to be a liar for all of eternity because He just got most people from most tribes, most tongues, and most nations. And so my two questions for you tonight is one, man, are you going to be at this multicultural block party? Are you going to be worshiping God at the end of eternity with people from every tribe, tongue, and nation? Basically, man, have you given your life to Christ? Are you a follower of Jesus? And two is, if you are, and how is your life fitting into God's finish line, to what He wants? How are you taking steps in your life to obey the commands of Christ? Because really, guys, right now, here's what the world looks like. If you look at this map, the places in blue are basically reached areas, places that have churches and Bibles and Christians all over. And, man, the places in green and in yellow, that's basically where the gospel hasn't gone yet. That's where Jesus isn't known. If you draw a line, here's a good way to remember it. At 10 degrees latitude and 40 degrees latitude, you can call it the 1040 window. In this area and close by it live 88% of all unreached peoples in the world. 88%. In North and South America combined, you've got about less than 3% of all unreached peoples in the world. So guys, how are you molding your lives to fulfilling Christ's command to go and make disciples of all nations? We're going to watch a short 2-minute video just about what's being done to reach this part of the world.
We had one focus point, and that was getting married. That was our point. That was what we talked about. We could pretty much turn any conversation from, like, Cheetos into guys and marriage. Just transition right into that. So as I was mapping out my life and figuring out what I was going to do, I started filtering my decisions through that. I even chose my college major based on that purpose. But it's not like I was leaving God completely out of the picture. I definitely intended to love and serve Him. I wanted to raise my family to do the same. I wanted to see people come to know Him. But I'd really never considered going out of my natural path to find people who hadn't had a chance to hear, who didn't even know who Christ was. I didn't really even know that those people existed for a long time. And then I heard a message pretty similar to the one that you guys just heard tonight. And God just started to show me His heart for the world. He started to show me what His world looked like. And as I was just kind of wrestling with all these things, because it was kind of a lot to take in and see what that had to do with my life. And as I was wrestling with that, I felt like God was just saying to me, you know, Amber, there are many people who are willing to be a wife and a mother and serve me here. But are you willing to do anything I ask and go anywhere I ask, regardless of what that might cost you? So I just had to start making my decisions based on His global purposes and allowing Him to really be the purpose for my life. So after I graduated college, I spent a year in East Asia, and I was with five other girls. There were no guys on our team, so didn't really increase my chances to get married. But it was a great year, and God taught me so much, and I wouldn't trade it for anything. And so I just want to challenge y'all tonight to start filtering your life through God's global purpose and allow Him to guide your steps. Hi, I'm Kim. Before Brian comes back, I just want to tell you a little bit about how God opened my eyes to His heart for the world and how I started to take steps in that direction to following His will for my life. While I got to college, I really had no idea about missions. I mean, the only thing I really knew about missions is kind of like the videos you saw earlier. I thought there were just people out there who passed out Bibles to people somewhere. I mean, I had no idea that God could use me to help get His name to those people. And then I went to a summer project my junior year, and just God just used that project to open my eyes to show me that His purpose is for everyone to know Him. And just learning verse after verse, just that Brian just shared with you, that I couldn't ignore it. I couldn't just sit still anymore. And I was wrestling. I was like, okay, what does this mean? How am I going to do this? And I was like, the best thing I could do is go, right? So I had it all planned out. It was perfect. My campus ministry, they were going to go to India for a year. It's going to be the first time they went right after my senior year. And I was like, okay, I'm so going. I even started to tell people I was going, and I hadn't even applied yet. So I was like, well, I guess I better apply. And so I got an application, I applied, and I knew this is what God wanted me to do. And then my campus ministry, the guy who was leading the team, called me up, and he was like, Kim, I don't think you're best fit for this trip. And I was just, like, stunned. I was so shocked. I was like, what? What does this mean? I knew this was perfect. I knew this is what God wanted me to do. And then I just started to realize that, you know, it's not necessarily about the trip that I was going to take. It's about the life that I was going to choose to live. And that even though this trip didn't work out, I had a choice, kind of like Brian was talking about. I could go off and do my own thing, or I could still make it my ambition to take the gospel where God's not known. And so that's what I did. I still had a responsibility to be involved with what God was calling me to and being involved with getting His gospel out to the nations. And so, you know, not knowing what those steps were and not knowing which way to turn, I realized it wasn't the end of the world. God had a plan for me, and it was okay that I didn't know all the details. And that, you know, He just started to show me that I really needed to live my life by faith and not by sight. And you guys, he's totally has taken me in different directions that I never even would have thought of. I mean, he's taken me to East Asia. He's taken me to India. He's taken me all over the country. I mean, it's unreal when you just stop and let him start to lead your life. And so, guys, I just want to ask you, you know, when things don't go necessarily the way you think they're going to happen, are you going to allow that to paralyze you? Are you still going to take steps of faith out of love and obedience to God's call for your life?
Kim, and I wanted to show you these numbers real quick. In reach parts of the world, here's kind of what we're doing to impact. Argentina, you got one missionary for 180 people. Peru, one missionary for 240. Brazil, one for 276. But in the unreached parts of the world, here's kind of where we're doing as a church. China has one missionary for every 700,000 people. India has one missionary for every 2 million people. And then Iran has one missionary for every 3 million people. And guys, when I look at numbers like this, I just wonder what's going on. Does God not care about these people? Be careful when you use this phrase, when you throw this out there. Man, I'm not called. I'm willing, but I'm just not called. Because when you say that, who do you point the finger at for this? God, it's your fault. Man, your humble, ready, willing servant is ready to go anywhere in the world, but you just haven't called me. Guys, is God senile? Is he up in heaven saying, oh, shoot, I just sent another dude to Brazil? What was that? Man. Oh, well. We'll get the next one. See, that's not the God I serve. Man, the God I serve has been, man, just ridiculously clear in his word about his heart to reach the world. Man, he invites us all into his finish line, into his race. And so here's just some habits we have, some things that we can start doing even right now to impact that part of the world. The first thing is just to start praying. This is a hard one for me. Sometimes I just don't pray for things, like over there, because I just don't know what's going on. I'm just like, God, help the people with the Bibles. Do something. You know, that's just kind of my missionary prayer sometimes. And one thing I use to help me with this is CNN.com. Do you realize they started putting out prayer updates online? Isn't that awesome? CNN is putting out prayer updates. It's called the World News, okay? And so I'll look and see what's going on in the world, and I'll just use that to fuel my prayer that God would work in Iraq, that God would work in Iran, in Lebanon. I'll use that to fuel my prayer. And another thing, we have some great resources on the book table in the back. Operation World is one of the best resources for prayer you can ever have. It's got like every stinking country in the world listed and specific prayer needs for those countries, or all of them. So, man, that'd be a great book to pick up, and I think it's pretty cheap. We got a great price on it. So, man, just start to use some resources to pray. Here's another thing you can start doing is to give. And guys, man, I know what you're thinking. Right now you're like, give? Man, I'll do that when I get a job, right, or something like that. But, man, you don't realize, man, how poor I am. I'm a poor college student, Brian. Man, I'm so poor, I can't even afford to fill up my iPod, okay? I'm that poor. And, man, I just want to challenge you. Man, if all you can afford, if you look at your budget and all you can afford is $5 a month, to what's being done to reach the people overseas, man, give $5 a month, okay? Can you do that? Just can you make that a habit in your life right now so that when you graduate and make like big bank, you can start to give some of that too? Just make it a habit. Here's another thing you can start to do is go. And you've got some great overseas opportunities that are going to come up in the next couple of months with Focus International. Man, just some great, awesome overseas short-term experiences that you can take part in college. You guys, I want to challenge every one of you to go short-term at some point in your life, especially in college. now is probably one of the best times you can do it, because when you graduate and you get the big engineering job and you say, boss man, I need like 2 months off to go reach people in Uzbekistan, he's going to be like, dude, you work here. You can just have all the time you want off because you're not coming back to work here ever again. Okay, so use your summers now to just go short term. Now, let me tell you this, guys. If you're going to go short term just so that you can check it off your little spiritual to-do list, just so that you can say you've done it, just to say, man, I've done that and crossed that bridge and now I'm through with that, it might just be best not to go. Because what God wants is some people sold out to Him. Man, to go and see the needs of those countries. And really, man, the call for our generation is for a lot of us to say, God, man, I'm going to go short term, but really, I'm planning on going long term. And to reach those people and who don't know about you. God needs some people that are planning on going and learning some people's language, getting sick from their diseases, eating their food, and to share the love of Jesus with them. And He wants a lot of us to go long term. And really, honestly, guys, a lot of you don't have a good excuse why you shouldn't. Okay? Man, I hear this all the time. Brian, man, I'm willing to go. You don't understand. Like, me and God have already talked. I'm willing to go overseas. I just haven't had that special thing yet. I think that's a bogus word game that you play with God. To just say, I'm willing. If I get this, like, buzz or something, I'm willing to go. Man, I don't tell my wife, Jennifer, I don't say, Jen, man, I'm willing to be faithful to you. Okay? I'm willing. You know, if the situation comes up, I'll be faithful to you. I'm willing to do that, maybe. Man, I just tell her, Jen, I love you. I married you. I'm going to be faithful to you for the rest of my life. What God needs is some people that say, man, God, I'm planning on going to the area of the deepest need in the world. I'm planning on going, but, man, I'll be willing to stay. It's going to take an act of God to keep me here. And one of the best things you can do right now is just reach out to international students. There's over 700,000 international students on American campuses. And a lot of them might just get ignored by American students just because they're too busy with their little Christian things. Man, I know when I was in college, I started getting this huge heart for the world, right? And I started praying for China, that God would work in China, that He would just move in China. And then, man, one day in class, I looked around and I realized there were like 5 Chinese students sitting behind me every day that I'd never talked to. Okay. So, man, one time I just turned around and said, hi, my name is Brian. And I started having a ministry in China. Guys, can I challenge you to this? Can I challenge you to find one more friend? Just make one more friend. Do you have room in your life for one more friend that's an international student? Just try to meet somebody. Try to do somebody. Do something. Try to impact that part of the world right now. And then one of the best ways, I mean, when I started getting a heart for the world, man, I started reading some books, reading some articles, and just started learning about what God was doing over there and how He could use me to impact that part of the world. And so I want to challenge all of you just to start to get informed. Like I said, we have some great books back there. Probably one of the best ones, I think, is a book called Live Life on Purpose. And it just kind of talks about God's global purpose and how you fit into that. And so we've got some great books at the book table. Our website, thetravelingteam.org, just has like 800 pages of articles, totally free. Man, use that and abuse it, okay? Just start to learn about what God's doing in the world. And really one of the best ways that you can start to get informed is tomorrow we're going to be at the Schooner Room, right? Is that right? Schooner Room? We're going to be there from like 9 to 5, just meeting with people one-to-one, or maybe you want to bring your small group or something, one-on-4 or something. And, man, we just want to help you learn how to get involved with what God's doing in the world. And so, man, would you pray about coming to meet with us? And would you bring a friend and come and meet with one of us tomorrow? Man, I don't think you'd regret it, okay? We got sign-up sheets in the back just to know when you're coming, but we'll be there tomorrow. Like I said, I live like a block from campus, okay? And so in our house, let me tell you about our house. We have like one driveway, and we live on like two major streets, okay? And so you can't really park on 12th Street. They frown on that. It's kind of like parking on the interstate. And so what we decided is we have like a little entrance into our backyard, right? And we're just going to pull in our backyard and park on the grass. Nothing wrong with that, right? Sounds good. And so we do this for about a year, and we get a letter from the city of Norman saying, you can't do this anymore, okay? Basically, it says, you're parking on unimproved surfaces, okay? So I take the letter, go to City Hall, put it down, and say, I want to improve my surfaces, okay? Do I need to plant flowers, or what do I need to do to improve? Well, actually, sir, what you need to do is pave your backyard. Great. I could put a basketball goal up. Well, let's do that. I want the permit. How do I do that? I want to pave my backyard. And they started looking at my lot, and they said, you know what, Mr. Zuniga, you cannot pave your backyard because you're too close to the intersection. I was like, I can't park because I'm too close to the intersection. I need to pave my backyard, okay? That just kind of... I realized that I own this stinking house, but there are some things that I can't do with it because the city of Norman, man, it owns me or something. Like, my house is like under the rule and reign of the city of Norman. Hey guys, if you're a Christian tonight, if you're a follower of Jesus, your life is under the rule and reign of Jesus Christ. And man, that might mean that you're going to be doing some things that you didn't think you were going to. That might mean that some of your plans you have to hold with an open hand and give to God. And what he'll probably do is take your small plans and put a huge one in its place. You know what? I own my house. But if you look in this book, I mean, Paul says to us, he says, you're not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Guys, you don't even own yourself anymore. God bought you out, and he owns your life. And so, man, my plea for you tonight is that you would give it totally to God, that you would submit to his lordship, and you just obey. Man, obey. And he's going to have some awesome things in store for you. 2 Corinthians 5:15 says, he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Can I pray for you guys? God, I thank you for this special group of people, Lord, that want to serve you, want to obey you. God, I pray that you would, just tonight, open their minds to what they just heard, to your word, to your finish line. God, help them to live in your plan. Help them to run towards your end and towards your goal. God, take our small ambitions away from us and put big ones in their place. Thank you for using us. I don't know why you do it. I don't know why you've chosen to use man to reach men. But you did. So God, I pray that we could live in that. God, that we could submit to you wholeheartedly. God, thank you for the blessing and the joy that's going to be. God, we pray this for your sake, not for ours. God, we pray this so that you would be glorified at the ends of the earth. Lord, we pray this in the name of Christ. Amen.